Genesis 3, verse 15, and from verse 21 to verse 24, the end of the chapter. I come now to this aspect of the fall, the deliverance, the great rescue, the great redemption. Adam and Eve have fallen. God has imposed judgment upon the serpent, Satan, Eve, and Adam. But even as he is cursing the serpent, Satan, God promises the glorious deliverance. Verse 15 of chapter 3. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring, your seed, and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. God, even in the midst of wrath, remembering mercy, as it were, even as he imposes this judgment, this curse upon Satan, speaks of the glorious redemption that he will accomplish through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it's about. I will do it, says God. I will impose, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. Of course, Satan is opposed to the sons of men, to the sons of Eve, yes. But one great son of Eve, the great son of God himself, the great seed of the woman, will come. And that enmity will reach a climax. And although Satan will strike the heel of this glorious seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ suffered the bitter agonies in his life upon earth, culminating in the cross, the sufferings there, the rejection, the desertion, even the separation from his Father. His heel, as it were, was struck. But in that glorious death and resurrection, Christ gloriously triumphed over Satan. He crushed his head. He came into the world to abolish the works of the devil. And he triumphed over him gloriously. Tetelestai, it is accomplished. It is accomplished. It is finished. John 19, verse 30. That is the promise in Genesis 3 and verse 15. I, the sovereign God, will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And then verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. And so on. In verse 21, I see a parable. I see a kind of picture, a kind of illustration of the verse 15. Of course, it doesn't say that God slaughtered an animal. There's no mention of blood here. And I wouldn't go to the stake, as it were, for what I'm now going to say. But I am bound to say that I see in the making of these garments, again by the Lord God, not Adam, not Eve, God made it. God is sovereign in this salvation. He provided, he made, he formed clothing out of skin, and therefore I say there must have been the death of animals, there must have been animal sacrifice here, so that Adam and Eve could be clothed before God. Yes, of course, they are banished from the garden, and the rest of the history of mankind is here. But here is the glorious promise of redemption, worked out in picture form. If Christ in Genesis 3 verse 15 is going to crush the head of Satan and so on, he's going to form in his righteousness and in his blood, he's going to form the washing away of the sins of his people in his blood, and his righteousness will clothe them, Jesus, thy blood in righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Clothed in the righteousness of Christ, washed in the blood of Christ, we can stand bold in the day of God's judgment. That's the picture I see here. The glorious redemption Christ will accomplish by his death and resurrection, by his life, culminating in his death and resurrection. That's what's provided here. That's what's promised here. The sovereign act of the gracious, merciful God. But my friend, have you benefited by this? You're in this chapter. You're in this passage. You're under the wrath of God. Have you been redeemed by the blood of Christ? Are you clothed in the righteousness of Christ? Are you standing bold now before God, trusting in Jesus? Or are you yet in your sins and under the wrath of God? Let me read two verses from a hymn by Joseph Hart. When Adam by transgression fell, and conscious fled his Maker's face, linked in clandestine league with hell, he ruined all his future race. The seeds of evil once brought in increased and filled the world with sin. But lo, the second Adam came, to bruise the subtle serpent's head, to cancel his malicious claim, and on his plans and powers to tread, ransoms poor prisoners with his blood, and brings the sinner back to God. Excellent. But the truth is, my friend, the great question is, not in the abstract, not in the third person, but let me put it into the second person. Has Jesus ransomed you? Has he brought you, poor sinner, back to God? Let me put it in the first person. Can you say, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me? That he came into the world, but he suffered for me, and he crushed Satan for me. And I'm washed in his blood, and I'm clothed in his righteousness. If you cannot say it, my friend, if it's not true for you, then you are yet in your sins, and you will perish, and perish eternally. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ now. There is deliverance from the fall. There is rescue from this ruin. But it's only in Jesus Christ. So trust him now.